Some time ago, my friend Mike called me and said,
Steve, I have a message for you. You have to make a podcast. It's very important. Do it now.
And I said, okay, I will. Can you provide me with extra time to do that during my busy schedule? He said he couldn't do that. But then I managed to free up some time. So here's my podcast, Audio Chimera.
This is episode number 2, OCD. Recently, I decided to watch or rewatch all of the Mystery Science Theater 3000 episodes.
In the not too distant future, somewhere in time and space.
And not just watch them, but to watch them from beginning to end in order. This is also how I binge watch things. When I start a new show, I view it from the first episode to the last, and generally don't interrupt it with anything else in between until I have finished that series or that season. Some people call this being a completist. Some people call it OCD. Some people call me the space cowboy. Some people call me the gangster of love. I'm sorry, I just got sidetracked into a song lyric there, which is probably an odd thing to happen for someone who has just claimed to be OCD. So do I in fact have a touch of OCD or obsessive compulsive disorder? Of course, by spelling out exactly what OCD means likely shows that I do in fact have some degree of obsessive compulsive disorder. It may also account for my need to correct people when they mispronounce words or use words incorrectly. My academic, higher education colleagues applaud this attention to detail. My students, well, they are somewhat less thrilled by it. The idea of me having OCD is, of course, not a new development. When I was a kid walking home from high school, I used to go through all kinds of gyrations in order to get home safely. If I said so many Hail Marys per block during the walk, I thought I would get home okay. Sometimes I would count the steps I would walk in a block. Somehow the numbers made sense to me, and by praying, God and the angels would keep me safe until I got home. Now, I am not nearly as OCD as some of my relatives were. Apparently, my maternal grandmother, the one married to my grandfather whose baldness pattern indicated that I really had absolutely no genetic chance to keep my hair beyond the age of 25, on Sundays, my grandmother would dress for church and then sit in the living room with her hat and coat on, ready to go, an hour before it was time to leave. And she would sit, and she would wait that way. For an hour. One of my favorite examples comes from my Aunt Dorothy. She would occasionally drop by for a visit and be invited to stay for lunch. My mother would set the table, and Aunt Dorothy would then touch every single piece of silverware, the napkin, and the plate in front of her. This behavior sometimes extended to the salt and pepper shakers to the north of her plate. She wouldn't actually move any of the items, but apparently she felt compelled to touch each one to assure herself that it occupied its correct place in the universe. The most current manifestation of OCD for me comes when I am leaving the house. There is a moment, as I back up out of the garage, that I hit the garage door button to close the door. I do this consistently, pretty much at the same point every time. And yet, one time out of 10, as I pull away from my driveway, I think, wait, did I close the garage door? And I have to circle around the block and move slowly past the driveway to look down and see that, yes, I did in fact close it. Of course, my wife makes fun of me for this. She urges me to check on what I am doing every moment as I prepare to leave the house so I know I have everything. But to exact my revenge on her for giving me that advice, I'm going to tell you two stories about her. One weekend afternoon, I returned from some errands to find her somewhat agitated. She wanted me to look around for her reading glasses. She had had a pair and then misplaced them and then grabbed a second pair and they had gone missing. Can you please find them for me? She implored. Yes, I said with absolute certainty. They are on your head. She had been using the first pair and at one point pushed them up on her head to see something else and then forgot that she had done so. After locating a second pair and reading with them for a while, she repeated the earlier action. She was unaware that they were both perched on her head and entwined like a nearsighted headband. Another story shows how looking around to make sure you have everything before you exit doesn't always help. One day she dressed for work and then looked around her home office. She had her bag and she checked. Yes, in it were the papers she needed for school. She had her purse and she checked. Yes, she had her cell phone there. She then mounted the chairlift that we have and began her descent to the first floor. But on her way down, she felt a bit chilly. At first, she wondered about the exterior temperature and about the setting on our thermostat. After she stopped at the bottom of the stairs, and as she prepared to stand up, she looked at her arms and saw the real reason she was feeling a bit cold. She wasn't wearing any top. So, she rode back up to get one, and we were both glad she caught that before going outside. Now, one perhaps more ridiculous story is my final example. This shows you what I am going to be like when I get very old and forgetful. When I go out the back door, I don't slam it to lock it, but I pull it shut firmly until I hear the click. And when I do, I still push on it to see if it's locked. And, back to the numbers, I usually do this 3 times. Worst, though, is I let go of the knob, let the outer door close, and then reopen the outer door to check that the inner door is locked just one last time. I do this frequently, almost every time I go out the back door in the morning. But of course, the ironic thing is, I go to all that trouble, and then when I get to campus, I suddenly discover I had never closed the zipper on my pants. Yeah. Back momentarily to Mystery Science Theater 3000. When I was first in college, a group of us would get together every Sunday night to watch the original Battlestar Galactica. We thought it was incredibly cheesy and loved making fun of the show. We entered into a dialogue with the TV, just as Joel and later Mike and the bots would in that not-too-distant future. One person, our host Ed, would always say, "By your leave," as the one Cylon did. I don't remember any of our specific riffs, but we had a great time on a weekly basis. And then one night, Galactica was preempted so the network could bring us news of the historic peace accords between Israel and Egypt, and we watched Menachem Begin and Anwar Sadat sign the documents. Of course, that didn't stop us. We riffed all the way through the newscast, especially zeroing in on one aide or bureaucrat in the background who seemed to be struggling to stay awake. The moral? Don't move or preempt our cheese. A few years later, it was Ed who would introduce me to MST3K. My first words? "It's what we used to do with Battlestar Galactica." Which was precisely the reaction he wanted. MST takes me back to that living room and our verbal improvs all those years ago. And now, decades later, I still have a strong relationship with MST3K. But I've lost contact with Ed. And I hate losing friends. I'm a very loyal person. Or maybe that's just another manifestation of my OCD. Anything you want to hear more about from this podcast? I can elaborate. Just send your request to Stephen Schrum at museoffire.com. That's StephenSchrum at museoffire, MUSOFYR.com. Or leave a message at 724-835-4074, and I'll see what I can do. I receive no cash for products I mentioned, but please feel free to throw money at me to advertise here. For more information on my works, check out my website, museoffire.com. For written works, search for me on Smashwords as Stephen Schrum or Museoffire, or find me on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. This is Stephen Schrum. Thanks for listening to Audio Chimera.